My guest today is Black Kites. We're going to start by listening to a track from some CDs that they brought in. Then we'll get into some interview and some live stuff, so stick around. It's going to be a great show. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org.
Thank you.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Black Kites. All channels up. And hello, everybody.
Hello, John.
Hello.
Hello, everybody.
Welcome to the show. And let's get right to it. Let's sort of figure out. We got a lot of instruments and a fair number of people in the room. So why don't we just go sort of left to right, stage left to right, and figure out, you know, who you are and what you bring to Black Kites.
I'm Alan, and I bring a sunny disposition and guitars and vocals on occasion.
I'm Evelyn, and I bring the fun. I play the keys and typically usually vocals, keys and other little gadgets, melodicas, bells.
I'm Nikki and I play the bass.
I'm Marcel and I'm the drummer, but today I'm a percussion guy.
You got a series of different instruments there.
Yeah,
looking rather tribal today. It's good.
Got the exactly. little skull shaker.
Yeah, we have to go put nice. On our dashikis in a minute. And
so how much of this is sort of, you know, one person and their band, and how much of it is a collaborative process?
Totally collaborative.
How did it start with all four of you? Did it start with one person and then you added the group to it?
No, it started with me and Nikki and I should say. and then
grammar is very important.
Yeah,
on the show,
no, I'm gonna work on it throughout the show too, because people are listening. And, I did get an education, and I paid for it. Anyway.
And you continue to pay for it with your
music
career.
I'm paying for it every day, yeah. It started with me and Nikki, and then Nikki's in a band with Evelyn and another band. And then she started playing with us, and it worked. And then Marcel came in like a year and change ago, and like January of last year, right?
Yeah,
January, February, something of last year. And then, we cut the Paper Heart EP that summer, and then it's pretty much been this ever since. And it's very collaborative.
What kind of music were you and Nikki doing before you became Black Kites?
It was me and Nikki, and I played like a trash can kind of guitar, and she played bass, and we had two old school drum machines, and we just sort of roll them out and like bang away. And then that evolved, though, right, Nikki?
Yes. Well, we would play art shows at 3 a.m. to 2 p.m. So.
And that wasn't fulfilling.
Which, you know, were some of the best shows like you could have ever seen.
Sure.
Like, they were amazing.
But did you, because of that experience, were you like, okay, we need to branch out and do something bigger? Like, what made you decide you wanted to, you know, double your efforts and put a larger band?
It was more you.
I got sick of pushing the buttons on that drum machine. So we got a live guy.
It was so low tech, it's like staggering to even think about. Like, it was literally like, I mean, it's like we hadn't even heard of computers, you know, and like every just old button things, and we'd have like delays hooked into them, and like between songs, we'd have a sheet that had all the like where to set the dials to like 3 o'clock, 12, whatever. So she'd kind of go back there and like switch everything, and then
so
press another
like,
button.
Like doing a science project.
Completely, yeah, exactly. It was like, you know, and whatever. You know, it was, but it worked and it was fun, and then but then eventually it evolved, and we had a different drummer, and then. Who is also in another great band now called Maspita that are friends of ours, and then Evelyn came on, and then when that happened, it the whole sound kind of shifted a lot, and it became a much more collaborative kind of thing as well.
So now it's more of a rock band with toys as opposed to a toy band trying to rock.
Oh no, we rocked.
No, they definitely rocked. I was one of those two people.
At those art shows.
Oh, that's
true.
I actually opened up
for them with another. I was in another band before. I had just lost my drummer, I believe. So we opened up for them. And I think that's when Alan, you know, kind of met for the first time.
Yeah.
And said, yeah, I think I'll give her a chance.
was there a courting process of sort of getting Evelyn into the team?
No. It's always about courting Alan. Never about courting
no,
Evelyn.
Not anymore.
Well, look, let's jump into a live song. Just Evelyn, describe for me real quick for our audience sake what you're playing.
Well, so yeah, I'm a little confused. Well, I usually play electros and like all these synthesizers, but I just picked up this little companion organ, and it reminds me very much of Death of a Salesman.
It's very old school.
I feel very Willie Loman when I'm walking around with it, and so It's that
part briefcase,
part briefcase, part. It's just missing a lot of keys right now. It's gonna go to the doctor after this show, and I just got.
As long as the important keys work.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Who needs a C anyway?
We hope.
Yeah really.
Totally overrated
note. Just in that key, right? Then I have just little bells. I have a bigger glockenspiel at Alan's house. I've got a harmonica and a megaphone.
A megaphone.
And yeah, so we're going to have lots of
it's a very different. It's a really totally different arrangement. We just
a completely different arrangement. We've only played this way probably twice or three times just for this show particular.
So. And what people in the listening to the radio don't know is you have eight arms, so you're able to play all these at the same time.
Yeah, I usually try. Yeah, sometimes if I can, I hook like, you know, I try and do the whole like tambourine on the floor. I really do. No, I really do.
Alright, what do you guys want to play first?
This song is called What to Do in Case of an Emergency.
Alright, you're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. This is Black Kites.
Lost treasure out of
fantastic start to the show. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Black Kites. Let's talk a little bit about how songs sort of come together for you guys. How does a song generally start? Is there one person who does the bulk of the writing and brings it into the rest of the group, and then you guys toy with it till it happens, or do you each bring in songs? How's that work?
I think it's usually it evolves from like our jam sessions. We're typically just playing, and then someone will start just, you know, with a melody, and then Alan and I usually go and start writing stuff. So we're more about the writing.
The lyrics.
But I think it's really like a collaborative as far as writing the music.
The lyrics come last in the process for you guys most of the time?
Generally.
Not for him. Yeah. Not for me.
So even when you're jamming, Evelyn, you have a sort of sense in your mind of where the song is going
to
go.
For me, it's always been like, it's funny, I used to be really, Travis, one of my really favorite bands.
Yeah, Travis is great.
It's great. And I listened to him, the lead singer, talk once, and he was just like talking about how his lyrics come across or about when he's playing. That's how it works in my head. But my lyrics are more like kind of fluid and open. So what I do is I take from that, and it's more of a feeling, pass them on to Alan, literature major, you know, and he kind of has another, you know, we kind of come up to, I have this feeling, and then he kind of like trends, I guess.
Yeah. Like molds it into lyrical form.
So yeah, but when I'm writing or even when I'm doing like my own stuff, yeah, it's always.
And we both like will write things like kind of independent a lot of times, and then we, once the music's actually done, and then we kind of know like what the melody really is, then we kind of sit down together, and like usually with an acoustic guitar, and actually just kind of figure it out and blend them and turn it out that way. And it's frustratingly long, and everybody gets really annoyed with us.
It is, just because for us it's such an emotional process, and I know it could sound really cheesy or whatever, but it is so integrated. We're not like these technicians who are like, well, you know, we have to do this first and then that. And sometimes we do get in our way by doing that, you know, when we've just been working on songs for a really long time. And I think the technical part of it kind of just like blinds us. So we have to take a step back because we are more of that band that's kind of driven by the emotional like part of writing music, which I think is really important and how it kind of like joins us all. So not all like, that band.
Is there, are there certain themes that you find yourself coming back to with some frequency? Or is it every song is sort of independent of the other one?
For me, it would be that's a really hard question to answer. But there is a theme for me all the time.
Is a specific theme, and then your audience will draw from that what they will.
Nameless. Yeah.
Yes.
But let me rephrase the question. Do you tend to write stories about other people, or are your songs more self-reflective?
I think every artist, I mean, I think it's, for me personally, it's very self-reflective, but at the same time, it integrates other people, so.
I suppose even if you're telling a story about another person, you're still telling it from your perspective.
But we kind of try and tell it in this fashion, where it's open enough that anybody else can kind of take from it and make what they will, you know, and allow. That's how I like listening to music, you know what I mean? It's like, I listen to things and put it in my own world, and I don't know if that's just the ego or what, but but no, I mean, we do write it kind of in a storytelling fashion, and it's not like, this is about me, blah, 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 except for certain songs like Paper Heart, which is definitely.
Yeah, it depends. I mean,
it depends on the time.
I'm not thinking about anything usually. I mean, sort of, I am. But although, again, it is like very kind of like emotionally drawn, you know, from wherever. But I never really have like any concept of what it's about. It's not really a story. You know, even if it sounds like one, and I just sort of like, you know, it starts to sound right. And that's why I think a lot of times now we it happens more towards the end, because it starts to sound really right for the music. Is, you know, it isn't just a story, and you know, the whatever the emotional like quality of the music, you know, that inspires it in huge ways, and so things get changed from there.
Yeah, that's interesting. He mentioned how you know, when you listen to music, you sort of take the song in and apply it to your own life.
Yeah,
and
that, I think that's what people do.
It's sort of like that's why music is worth something. You take it and it becomes a part of you.
Of course, yeah. I think that's the greatest thing about music is that I think it saves a lot of people, you know, more than, you know, I just think that's the power of music. I was going to go to medical school, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. So, that's why I'm here.
So, you're healing this people with music
well,
instead
no,
of...
Well, no, I think
no. We actually did. Like,
oh,
we,
Jesus
we talked
Christ.
Directly.
No. They kind of talked me out of it. No, the reality is I had to make a choice. And mm-hmm. choice is that, yeah, this is what saved kind of, like, this is what saved me.
Right.
You know, kind of growing up and not ever getting in.
Yeah.
These, you know, listening to songs is kind of like, it was my catharsis. And that's the only way that I got through the shit that you have to go through. I'm sorry. I don't know if I should say
no, it's internet radio. It's totally
oh
cool.
Oh, my God.
Get it all out of your system.
Damn,
like
because
see,
that
show.
Last song, I usually yeah. curse in it, and I didn't when it's a live
well,
show.
Well, you can curse extra in the next
oh my
song.
God.
Why don't we
I'm
listen
so
to
gonna
a,
bring up the cursing.
Another track from this CDs you brought in. What do you recommend?
All Wrong. Because it's all right.
Wait. Is it mislabeled on the thing, though?
Yeah. Oh, is it not track one on the All Wrong
Actually,
EP?
I think that's the right track on that one.
It is. Okay. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. This is Black Kites. We'll be right back.
Thousand hearts, scars and
And we're back on Is Good on killradio.org. And had you been listening through that song, you would know we all just bared our souls and you missed it. But that's okay. We'll do more of that because that's what the show is all about. My guest is Black Kites, myspace.com/blackkitesmusic. By the way, just is that the place to go for the most up-to-date info? Is your MySpace page? Okay. Actually, Nikki, let me put you on the spot just for a second because I was listening to
Excellent.
The live song.
Yes.
And the first thing that came to mind to me was that you there's a certain Peter Hook quality to your bass playing. You play the bass as if it were not a backup instrument but an actual part of the team. So tell me about how you learned to play the bass and how you play the bass in this band that's specific to what you like to do.
Well, I don't usually play the bass. I usually play guitar. I've been playing that for like 12 years. So in this band, I switched over to the bass, and I guess I kind of play it like a guitar in a way. So all our songs are really bass heavy and kind of drive all the songs. So not drive them totally, but sort of. And
And we like that because Peter Hook is God. So, oh, did I say that?
Yeah, he's rad. But that's the thing that people think about when they think about his style of playing bass is that you're playing it like a guitar.
Yeah. So that's kind of what I try to do.
So when you guys are all jamming out, I mean, is it just like they're already starting to think about the lyrics? Are you starting to think about, okay, like where am I going to fit into this song? And
well, I mean, we all just sort of come up with it together. Like, it's weird. Like, it just happens at the same time.
Just organically, like spontaneously?
Yeah. We all play so well together. It just happens. So I don't really have to think too much about it. It's just pretty natural with these guys, so.
And Marcel, why don't you tell me about playing the drums? I mean, did it start for you with like banging on pots and pans in the kitchen, and then you know you became started a rock band, or how did you get involved?
Yeah, that's pretty much exactly how it started. It was banging pots and pans in my friend's parent's attic, and I broke so many of his mom's wooden spoons that I had to go and convince my parents to get me a real drum kit. So that was.
Is that really true?
That's really true. That was my first band in 1985.
And what do you do as a drummer in Black Kites that's different than you might do in, you know, any other rock-based band?
I think with every band, I mean, the way I play is I usually play with the vocals. I mean, me and Nikki, you know, have the same drive, the same rhythm, which really helps, but the accentuations kind of, I rely on Evelyn, you know, to kind of point me in the right direction of the dynamics. So
to sort of follow her voice for like the emphasis on in the drumming.
And a lot of times in the when we're originally working on a song, between the first, you know, take and when the final vocal version is complete, it changes a lot because, you know, I have a steady beat, and then when the vocals come in, it just all changes. So
that's interesting because, you know, a lot of times you just have the drummer and the bass player communicating with themselves in the back of the stage, and then you have the frontman doing their thing. And if sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't, but it sounds like you have to do as much communication with the vocals as well as the bass, and sort of everybody's communicating with one another
at
the same time.
I think we're also getting, like, that's always been a really important thing for me. It's like to play with a drummer. Like, the drum for me is, like, such an important, you know, like, the percussion, like, actually is what moves me to, like, sing and to, like, that's what I kind of sing to. So before a show now, even getting, like, me and Marcel just opening up more and kind of, we have to kind of focus on each other and just kind of, you know, tune it in. And then once we start playing live, it's really about that. It's like I play to kind of to him and he plays to me. And so we have to really communicate, I guess.
That kind of makes it, that's kind of what's different about this band from, you know, at least bands that I've been in the past, is that it's not like the rhythm section and, you know, the guitar section. I mean, we all, it's like collaborative in the studio, in the rehearsal space, and on the stage. It's like open communication all around. And if we're not all seeing each other, then it's not as good. You know.
And it's funny that he mentioned like rehearsal, recording, and live, because with us it's completely like you can pretty much go to our rehearsal and it'll sound completely different than this live and the recording. And that's what we like about it, because it is kind of loose, and every experience we're all kind of getting something different out of it. So I love live I don't really like being in a recording studio. It feels, I get so frustrated.
Because you don't, is it because you don't have that sort of emotional connection with the audience and the energy that you get from them?
Yeah, it has to do with that, and it feels kind of like, you know, sterile, and I can't, you know.
It has to be perfect, you know.
So I can do things like, I'll sit there and I'll want to do something 400 times, and that's impossible, but I have that. I want to be a perfectionist about things. And the thing is, playing live, it prohibits you to be a perfectionist.
Right.
If you mess up, you mess up.
You have to keep going, yeah.
Like, it doesn't mean that after I won't be beating myself up in the back and saying, oh, my God, how much I suck.
The show must go on, yeah.
The show must go on, and that's that great. Like, you have to step out of your own way. Like, you see nothing else but, like, being propelled by the feeling of it, and that's my favorite thing to do. Like, being on stage is awesome.
Let's do another live song and then talk a little bit more about performing live and some of the adventures you guys have had.
This song is called, I think we're going to do Loaded Gun. We haven't really done this in a while.
We've never recorded this. And technically it's still like a work in progress.
Yeah.
Right, it's a Kill Radio exclusive.
Yeah. We don't even, it sort of changes every time we do it.
You're listening to Is Good. My guests are Black Kites. Listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Black Kites. Do you want to share with the audience what happened during that song?
Yeah, I used the wrong instrument.
But which I...
It sounded like the right instrument to me. I only knew it was the right instrument from the expression on your face.
A harmonica in the wrong key?
Like, oh, shoot, yeah. This harmonica's in the key of D.
It was like the harmonica had bitten you. Like.
I know, but that's like why... Actually, that's...
Well, I mean, literally, like I said, we just like actually... for the show, we were like, yeah, let's do acoustic. And it's... We thought it was going to be really easy, and we're like, wait a minute.
It is really easy.
Yeah, it's just like such a loose...
It's a much different vibe.
But it's a totally different vibe that for our songs, it was kind of hard to actually get a take on it. We thought it was going to be quite simple, and all of a sudden we're like so used to like listening to like, you know, everything amplified.
Right.
All that we're like, wait a minute. So, yeah. I just kind of brought these things in, and literally, like, this might be like the first time I might be.
Yeah, no, but actually, I mean, it worked. You might discover that maybe what you need in that song is the harmonica, and you wouldn't
have a melodica for this song. Mm-hmm. But it was going to be too much, so I left it in the car. So,
we were talking a little bit before about the difference between being in the recording studio and performing live. This is a question for anybody. Describe for me, if you can, what sort of the best live performance is for you guys. The right kind of venue, the right kind of sound, the right kind of audience. What are those things for you?
Audience is huge.
Is that you think that's even more important than right than judging song, your own performance?
Yeah, because from my perspective, it definitely helps. I mean, I can. It's hard to say, but sometimes when everybody's kind of tuned in, you sort of know it, and. But as it's happening, it's sort of evolving and becoming live. Boy, that was profound. But that's part of it. And that's like very much the audience thing. And then you get more into it. And, because you can only we do this all the time. And, when we rehearse songs, you're sitting in a room and, we're banging away and you're just trying to get the chops right and kind of get some, what's the feeling and everybody playing together. But it's not, it's not the same and it never sounds. Why is everybody laughing?
Because you said chops. And I was I'm sorry, I'm going to have to call you out on it. I can't,
But that's right. Anyway, okay. this is turning into a normal Black Kite session.
Mutton everybody chops is what you're
talking
about.
No, he says chops. He says
all kinds of things.
He says all kinds of things. I'm not even going to
say. We laugh all the time.
Yeah. But he doesn't call soda pop,
he'll say hey,
oh,
girls.
Oh, no, I totally say
pop. Yeah. Do you say pop?
No, he'll say meet me on the.
That's a great word.
How about meet me on the fifth? No, meet me on
the nickel.
On the nickel. On Main and Nickel. Nickel meaning Fifth Street. Who still
it
says
is.
That?
It's called the Nick.
he'll constantly say how awesome. Yeah, no, Alan lives in all these different decades. We're not
That's
really
great.
Sure.
That's fantastic.
Which one? Sometimes it's funny because he'll go for a whole month and he's just in the 70s, and then
I have a friend who spends his whole life in the 70s.
Really?
Yeah.
No, this is cool because
spent
a lot
of my life in the 70s.
He then 1 month he's totally ahead, and we're like, where are you? I don't know. And then he'll then be in the 80s, then kind of in the 60s. And then
I've just come back from 2020.
He's
it was tubular.
I have something important to share with you.
I have something really important to share with you. But he uses these terms, and I don't know where they come from. They freak me out. Because I'll be out and about with him, and some of the terms, I'm sorry, but I feel are quite misogynistic. And I...
But it inspires you for new material for your songs.
How did you get on this rant from Chops? Because, in my defense, that's
a
pretty normal
musician
term.
Let's just say there's
another
one that you use that is four letters.
Hey, guys, don't break up on my show, okay? I have a pretty good track record. I've had a few bands move out of town. But together, that's what matters.
You know why we play well together? Is because this happens.
Yeah, exactly.
All
we
time.
Love each other so much.
coming
back to this thing about fans. I mean, do you look out from the stage and see is it whether or not they're getting it, and that's sort of what fuels you? I mean, you're not competing with just the clinking of beer glasses and people who don't really. Because a lot of thing with LA is a lot of people are at venues and they don't know why they're there. They're certainly not there to see the band play.
No, it's funny that you said that because we just did a show in San Francisco and it was such a different experience. It was a fabulous experience. We felt the audience literally, they started really far into the back of the club. And all of a sudden,
reeled them in with your music.
Oh my God. And I felt elated. I was just after.
They actually moved around a bit.
Oh,
they don't
see
that here.
You don't see that here. They're just wow, we're too. I love Los Angeles and anyone who wants to come out and see us, please come out and see us.
No, in LA, you're fighting for a head nod, not for a mosh pit.
We got a really good story out of that because it took us 12 hours to get to San Francisco because we detoured through Napa. And in doing that, we stopped at this this little vineyard called Goose Cross that Evelyn had been to. And when we went in, there's two guys, told mom and pop, very small. And they're like, what are you guys doing? I said, we're going to San Francisco to play a show. And they're like, oh, what's your band? You have a CD. Let's go get it, So they had us put it on. They're playing. They're like, yeah, we can really get into this. We like it. And then there was some other couple there, and it was her birthday, and she wanted to take pictures of us. And we're like, we're not really famous. She's like, yeah, but you might be famous, and it's my birthday. And then the guy behind the thing said, when are you guys playing again? And we told him, and he showed up. He came out from Napa
with
somebody to the show in San Francisco.
Oh, wait, so he went from Napa to San Francisco just to see you guys?
We'd never met, which we thought was super cool. Yeah. We love wine, really. That's what it comes
down
to. He kept
the playing the album the whole time at the Goose Cross Winery. So he's like, you guys are on steady rotation. At our winery, and I'm like,
that place is
going to
become a
Can
new
you guys,
venue.
Send us some wine because there's something that we're always drinking is wine. and we love wine. We definitely don't know how to do like the whole like tour, you know, cheaply thing. We're trying to learn how to do that.
So you're not one of those guys, you know, like the touring bands where it's like there's empty cans of Bud Light all over the van.
No,
you guys have like
wine.
Empty bottles of Merlot. Like,
exactly.
It's a little bit classier. Yeah.
God, yeah.
It's barely classier.
It's just that
it's
bit classier.
Yeah.
It's a much different hangover than we're used to in this industry. Why don't we listen to another track from the music you brought in? Tell me, first of all, where can people get some of this music?
You're on, Nikki.
Well, it's on our MySpace page, and it's also on iTunes. Both of our EPs are on iTunes. And our little UK label that we're working with, you can download the tracks for free there. It's filthylittleangels.com.
Oh, cool. So you have a distribution label in the UK, and out here you're doing it on your own?
Yeah.
Yeah,
kind of.
And
so
he helps
yeah.
here too. I mean,
yeah. He's here.
No, they're super cool.
Yeah,
I mean,
they've done
a ton for us. And
they have really good bands.
And he loves like a lot of local bands here too. It's pretty.
And this is your manager, your label. Who are we talking about?
It's a little label in the UK called mm-hmm. Filthy Little Angels.
Oh, that's the same. Okay.
Yeah, they just sort of helped us out with putting.
And we just shot our video, so you'll be able to see that soon.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
And these EPs, are they sort of a precursor to a full length?
Yeah, we're recording a full length this year.
Awesome. Yeah. All right, what should we listen to?
I think we should listen to the cover because a lot of the kids seem to like it. Lucretia.
Okay.
Which was originally, it was actually done for Filthy Little Angels for in the 80s compilation that they released.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Black Kites. Stick around.
done.
Back on Is Good on killradio.org, hanging out with Black Kites, myspace.com/blackkitesmusic. So here's sort of a convoluted, you know, theoretical question for you. How far do you want to go, with this? Like, where do you, how will you know when you turn to each other and go, yeah, we're Black Kites and we've arrived? Like, what is that,
remember that
in your head?
Jet,
what does that mean
that,
to
like
you?
Led Zeppelin flew around in and it had like the whole,
so you guys want a private jet?
Is no, that... last time somebody asked me, I said that.
Driver.
And they were, everybody just shook their heads.
Or you want to be in? You want to be in a Zeppelin that says Black Kites on it?
Yeah, no, not not Led Zeppelin, but a Zeppelin.
An actual Zeppelin,
like, says Black Kites, exactly. Yeah, that would be,
I mean, but in terms of like, do you guys just want to do as much as you can so that this is all you need to do to be self-sustaining?
That would be great.
That's like a super goal.
that's a dream.
Yeah,
that's the dream.
Yeah, exactly. And everything else is just like gravy after that. But I mean, here, you're gonna laugh now. I said gravy. But
I was about to say, I don't believe dreams come true. But no, yeah, that would be the dream.
And then in terms of playing live, do you guys like to do it as much as possible, or do you need to sort of pace it yourselves so that you can, you know, promote it and, you know, not be dragging the same people every week to the shows?
That's a good question, because
we like
do
to think we're not dragging them. But
we like to think they're coming of their own free will.
We haven't paid anybody yet. Yeah. Like, you know,
well,
somewhere in between. I mean, like I think all of us like, no, I mean, you have to just play live because it's like, it's a vital part of a band. Like if you don't do it, it's like, you know, it's a hobby, but at the same time you can overdo it too. And we're writing a lot of new stuff right now.
We've been working on such new stuff that literally we just had our live show 2 days ago, and it was so weird. I mean, it was fun, a lot of fun, and we didn't take it that seriously but at the same time, it was just because we haven't played any of these songs in forever, just because we've been working on new material. So when we get into the recording process, we're so ready. So it's hard. You're like, oh wait, I know how to play that, and then you get there, and you're like, wait, no, I'm in another. You know, just because how the music evolves and things are changing a bit. Some of our new stuff is going to be not completely different. It still has the same sort of like vibe. But definitely, it's growing, and it's going in a different direction. So I'm really excited about it.
I know a big thing for a lot of bands is finding the right kind of venue to match the kind of vibe that they're doing. What do you guys think is the right kind of venue for you? Do you like a more intimate cafe art scene, or do you prefer arena rock kind of stadium?
I want to be in a big, huge arena.
Yeah? I mean, do you think that will carry well with Black Kites, or is that just a fantasy?
Yes.
Yeah?
Because it would give me, like, way more room to, like, do all the crazy shit I want to do. I mean, are you kidding?
You need some more instruments, for sure.
You don't even know. The setup I already have, like, me and Nikki argue about this because she's like, too much instruments. And I'm like, never enough. And me and Alan are kind of the same, you know? It's like, we're just like, if we can collect as much as possible, and if I can play, I mean, one of my favorite bands is, like, Siguros, and I'm just,
Oh, we got a ways to go.
God,
there.
Yeah.
We'll take anything with
we'll
like
anything?
An actual stage that
with
you can
the stage that we can
on,
actually
like
all be
great.
On at once, mm-hmm. and not maybe, you know, have the drummer on stage while we're kind of like, you know, between
right.
the crowd.
It's like
while you're in
like
the aisles.
One riser and we're all sort of like.
But, you know, we'll take that too.
But you'll take that too, yeah.
There's nothing like playing.
Yeah. Has that sort of creative spirit contributed as well to the creation of your songs? Like, do you, like, you guys are jamming and you go, you know what this really needs? It's a didgeridoo. And then someone goes out and picks up a new instrument.
Oh, are you kidding? Me and Alan, like, when we record this, we're going to bring in strings and I hear a French horn. And if we could do, like,
none
three
of which will
hand
happen,
clubs,
but
well,
in my
it,
head.
It'll, it doesn't happen at the moment, but believe me, it's.
It'll make,
like,
it on the record.
I'm going to quote Alan, it's in the noggin. You know, it's up here. It's like, you're. It'll be like. Yeah, I mean, that's the vision. It's like you can only do so much with what you have, but our music is, what I think is great about some of our songs and why I believe in them so much is because I really do feel that if they were put in a different, like, venue, like if we had string sections.
Horn section.
They could work.
You don't feel limited by what you've created
for
Black
Eyed Peas. I feel like
so
they would
far.
Actually add more to it. And I'm all, I mean, I played team sports my whole life and very about collaborating, so, yeah.
But also it's from, like, I mean, a lot of the types of music that, like, especially songwriting stuff that I love, like, I mean, because, I mean, I like a lot of kind of, like, Memphis soul records, and there's always these amazing horn sections, and you know, like, the Stones, like, bit it huge early on, and, like, that's where a lot of those riffs come from. And so sometimes, I mean, I think about that all the time, like, oh, if I could only have a horn section, you know, even though I don't really need it, but it would be so great to just, like, be able to just, you know, add, like, one little, like, counter melody in an arrangement with a set of horns.
I'm thinking about it all the time.
Does some of this attitude come from just sort of a desire not to fall into the trap of being just another indie rock band and doing the same thing, like, to sort of keep it fresh for you guys?
For me, it comes from, I mean, I've just been playing in, like, all different kinds of instruments my whole life. I play the clarinet and things like that. So
it seemed unnatural for you to just,
yeah, it would be really unnatural to stick to one thing. And it's funny because I felt really fortunate when Belle and Sebastian kind of came around, because I was kind of feeling down in the whole music scene for a while, and I was just out of it. And I felt so, it was like when my friend was like, oh, here, check out this band. It was like years ago. And I was like, wow. And I've seen them live like 6 times. And that's what I like about that. People just listen to them. They're like, oh, they're just happy. I'm like, no, when you see them live, you really get the feel like how everyone's kind of playing all these different instruments and how they like break off from how they've recorded. And so that's what I want to eventually do. I want to be able to bring in all these different elements and play around with them, because that's what makes it fun.
Nice. You guys ready for another live song?
Sure.
All right, let's do it. What's this one called?
What?
Little Thunder.
Oh, yeah.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. This is Black Kites. Stick around. Thank you. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Black Kites. You guys are fantastic. That was great.
Thank you.
maybe not for the perfectionist in you, Evelyn. I can see you cringing when I said that, but here in the headphones, it sounds fantastic. Well, we won't get into that.
No, it's good. I like it. Except for some reason, twice today we've ended songs like one bar too short for some reason. I don't know. And
maybe that'll be a new thing for you. Maybe that'll be your signature.
Yeah, no, we all keep looking at like, why did we just do that?
Tell me where you guys are playing next, where people can go see you perform.
We're playing at Spaceland on May 12th with the Mezzanine Owls for their residency.
Who are great if you haven't seen them.
Yeah, it's going to be really fun. And after that, I think San Diego, and that's pretty much it for now.
And you guys are working on the new album, and any idea when that might land?
The idea is to start recording it in August is like the kind of like very loose, you know, because the record company's just given us so much heat.
It's like really on our back.
Basically, it's like how fast can we like save the dough to do it? And and we're off to a good start. And a lot of people helped us this time, which was super cool. And that's the idea.
Let's sign off with one more track from some of this music you brought in. What do you recommend?
What about Glass Parade? Or is that too long?
It's a long one.
That's fine.
Okay. Yeah.
It's my show. I can go as long as I want.
Awesome.
Right.
Nobody's on after.
You're great, John.
you're great. Which song were we going to play?
It's on the other one.
Glass Parade.
On
but it's number one.
It's number one?
So on this one? Play number three.
Number three. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guests today have been Black Kites, myspace.com/blackkitesmusic. This will be available for download tonight or tomorrow from myspace.com/thisisgood. And, of course, integrated into the Black Kites Is Good Music profile on isgoodmusic.com. Look them up over there. We're in beta testing. Lots of good stuff coming on the way. And, of course, check the schedule of upcoming bands over at isgoodmusic.com and myspace.com/thisisgood. A lot of bands coming on and a lot of events coming up as well, so check that out. You've been listening to Is Good on killradio.org.
Don't you wish you stayed?